Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends, and welcome to a new edition of my Old Kentucky podcast. I'm Jasmine Smith, and with me today is Robert Connie. Robert, how are you doing? Did I do okay?
You did better than I would have, that's for sure. And I'm not doing great, Jasmine, but we're here. We're going to talk about
I'm not doing great either. We're both sick, but we're still bringing you a show. It might not be our best show, but it's a show.
Yeah, it is what it is. We're going to talk about vetoes. Jasmine did all the work. She wrote everything down about vetoes. So thank you, Jasmine, for doing all this. And I'm excited to learn about what got vetoed this week.
Yeah, and I'm actually, some things got vetoed today after I put this together, and I was able to catch a few of them before we started recording, but I think I'm still missing maybe two or three, so the vetoes are going to keep coming, so the ones I missed, we'll catch up on them next week if we need to. So we are in the midst of the veto period right now. But one bill was already vetoed and already overridden. So I just wanted to remind everybody of that. And that was House Bill 18, which was the source of income bill. So that bill prevents source of income ordinances that would protect renters from discrimination for their source of income, like federal benefits. Bashir vetoed this bill like in a public press conference back in March, and the legislature was quick to just deal with that and override it. And so that has already happened, and I just wanted to make mention of it because that's the only one so far that was already vetoed and overridden before the veto period.
Yeah, this made a lot of news back when it happened. I remember that, I mean, I think that this might have been the first time that the legislature had just decided to completely, you know, override the city governments, like the Metro Council or the Lexington, Fayette, Urban County Government Council. So they basically, both Louisville and Lexington, had passed bills to allow or to disallow this source of income discrimination, and the state just decided to let them do it. So that is kind of big for that reason, in addition to the fact that it's really bad for people who depend on Section 8. Also, just like completely counter to our housing needs in the state. Like, this is gonna make more people homeless, so if people don't like homeless people or wish we had fewer of them, this is bad for that. So that's that.
Yeah, there are other bills that are bad for homelessness, which we'll get to. So the next one is a resolution. It's HCR 81, and that is the resolution to study the JCPS split. And while this resolution just, you know, creates a commission that would study the effects of potentially splitting up the district, you know, it's scary because this commission could probably make a study that says, you know, what they want it to say and make it become a reality eventually. So Bashir said a decision like this should be made by Jefferson County residents and not the legislature.
That would be nice,
but they don't care.
It just seems like it's a precursor to them eventually passing a bill a couple years from now that would just split at JCPS up into two or three different districts, which currently is illegal under the law. But, you know, this just seems...
They would, right, like, this is the resolution, and then they'll do the study, and then they could pass a bill that would change the law, and then, you know, there we would be. So the next one is, you know, consistent with the war on Louisville, from the legislature. So this one is House Bill 388, and it would make the Louisville mayoral election and Metro Council elections nonpartisan. Bashir's veto message said that Louisville Metro's government structure and its partisan elections were created by the popular vote of the people. And I liked this little dig. He said that if they want nonpartisan elections, then the legislative elections should be nonpartisan too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very clearly a political ploy by the Republican legislature to try to elect more Republicans in Louisville secretly. Yeah, I mean, it's a bad bill. It's just it's a political bill at its core. And Andy Beshear is totally right. I bet they don't go for his advice, though.
Yeah. So House Bill 403, I don't know if this is one we've talked about much. I don't think we've talked about it when I have been on the show. But this bill is about boards. It would create a division of real property boards within the Department of Professional Licensing. The division would include the board, the Kentucky Board of Home Inspectors, the Real Estate Appraisers Board, and the Board of Auctioneers. The new division would be housed within the Public Protection Cabinet and have its own director and office. Beshear objects to this because it breaks up the Real Estate Commission and believes that this could create financial shortfalls, staffing challenges, and legal liabilities.
Very interesting. Don't really know much about why this is a bad idea, but yeah.
Yeah, this is one maybe people in this industry may know more than we do about what's going on here, or people that like work for the state on this side of things might know the politics behind this. But I'm not really sure exactly why they did this.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably not for us to say much more about it, I guess, because we don't know, but
yeah. And there will be, maybe I should have kind of ordered these a little differently, but there will be some other board shakeup vetoes as well, or like removing boards from certain cabinets and things like that. That kind of seems to always be going on every session lately. So,
right.
House Bill 136. This one was one that I believe we talked about pretty early on in the session. It limits the authority of Louisville Air Pollution Control to seek penalties for polluters in certain cases. And so this is another bill that only applies to Louisville. And Beshear called it another attack on Jefferson County and local control.
Yeah, this one also is really bad because, I mean, there are, of course, in an urban area going to be where people work and they have different kinds of jobs. There's just like a lot more types of pollution and lots more types of just like, you know, industrial products that get created. And people are oftentimes like living in that situation, close to that or whatever. And there are a lot of like real problems, especially down in like Southwest Louisville around air pollution.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just basically circumventing our local government's ability to deal with that and putting a more conservative group in charge.
House Bill 513, this one, the legislature would have to approve the addition or removal of statues in the Capitol Rotunda. And Beshear vetoed it because it would strip the authority of the Historic Properties Advisory Commission. I just wonder if the legislature just like ever gets tired of like giving power to themselves. Like if I had power, like at some point I feel like I would have too much to do and I'd be like, man, can't we just give that to somebody else?
Now when it comes to what's the real complaint here? And I like the only statue that has been messed with in the rotunda is
it's about the Jefferson Davis statue. Jefferson Davis,
yeah. And it's like, are you really gonna like plant a flag in the ground about like Jefferson Davis? Like that's where you wanna like, I don't know. Is Ephraim McDowell in the state rotunda? Because like he's somebody who I learned a lot about in when I was like in elementary school, and he was like, you know, much thought of as like an amazing hero of Kentucky's past, and then as I got older, I learned that a lot of the stuff that he did was very shady and around like utilizing slaves to experiment on and stuff like that. So or enslaved people to experiment on and stuff. So it was I know that he is one of Kentucky's two statues in Washington, D.C. But anyways, this is definitely like I think probably they saw him, Governor Beshear, getting some good press for removing the Jefferson Davis memorial or statue, and the legislature decided they wanted to get in on that for themselves as well.
Yeah, I just
Or maybe they want to put a statue of Mitch McConnell in there, and they know that in
Yeah, maybe because it's addition and removal that they would have power over if they override this veto, which they will. So that's House Bill 513. Senate Bill 259. This is about the West End Opportunity Partnership. So what this bill would do, it would allow the WEOP board to set up its own procedures for determining who sits on the board after the current board members' terms expire. And that includes removing organizations who contribute board members. So Bashir said that this bill would allow outside groups not listed in the statute to contribute members to the board. He said that that could allow outside influences or organizations to end up taking control over the board. This bill passed easily in the Senate. I think only maybe two people voted against it, but it was it had a lot more opposition in the House. And so I don't know. I think Bashir's reasoning for vetoing this, it seems like a good one.
Yeah, I think it comes from like a good, like the bill itself isn't bad on its face. I think like one of the issues that they're seeing is like there are some organizations that have spots in the WEOP board that are not, you know, keeping up with putting their people on, or if their people aren't mm-hmm. doing meetings, they're not doing a good job of like making sure the person stays on there or whatever. But I do think like in between the time when the bill was introduced and passed the Senate, and then when it passed the House and got to Governor Bashir's desk, they realized what the implications were of the situation that they set up. So I do think there are some real problems there. I mean, there probably is some stuff that needs to be done about like making the board a little bit better in terms of representation and making sure that it is full all the time. I just think that the solution might not have been the one they needed. And that's probably what Andy Bashir has determined there. It will be interesting to see. This is one that might not get overridden, but we'll see.
Yeah. And this is also the rare Democrat sponsored bill on the list as well. So next we have an election law bill. It's House Bill 44, and it would require providing an annual report of voter roll cleanup activities. It would ban any type of like ranked choice voting on any level. And then it would require the Cabinet for Health and Family Services to provide a copy of lifetime death records to the Board of Elections each year. And Bashir said the term lifetime death records is not used by the Department of Vital Statistics, and the Cabinet for Health and Family Services already provides the board with monthly death records, so this bill is unnecessary.
Yeah, this is really weird. There is like this constant Republican talking point that there's all these like dead Democrats that are voting in elections.
And yeah,
I think if Democrats were cheating with dead voters, like we would win more elections probably. Like, I don't know. I think that that's probably like what would happen. But it is silly that and redundant. I think also the fact that it bans any ranked choice voting, like, you know, the city Louisville is has explored the idea of using ranked choice voting and thought about it before, but I don't know if we're going to have the capability to do it when the state could just preempt the decisions that the state makes, like this bill saying it's banned. So that is kind of I think another reason why it probably got vetoed. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
kind of silly.
Next is House Bill 517, which would allow the dismissal of ethics complaints without preliminary inquiry with a vote of 5 members. And I think this bill is horrible that you could just dismiss an ethics complaint without even a preliminary inquiry. And Bashir said this undermines legislative ethics, which it does. So that's pretty simple and a pretty good reason to veto it.
I agree. I don't think there's anything else to say about it.
Yeah, that's just wild to me. House Bill 7 is the bill that would allow autonomous vehicles on the roads. And Bashir expressed concern that it doesn't address questions of safety or have a testing period, and said that other states that have passed laws like this have extensive testing periods. And that is the concern that I share about this bill as well.
Yeah, I mean, I also don't think it necessarily is a, it doesn't necessarily mean that Governor Bashir, anybody who's opposed to this bill, opposes autonomous vehicles in the first place. Just saying that the bill isn't like robust enough to deal with any of the real issues that surround autonomous vehicles, which,
like, at this time.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean that industry has taken like some significant leaps forward in the past few years. But there are still a lot of issues around safety that we probably should think about before allowing that kind of, you know, car on the road.
Yeah. Senate Bill 198 creates a nuclear energy authority, and it's also accompanied with a resolution that orders the Public Service Commission to prepare to regulate nuclear energy facilities. And Bashir said that, you know, he's not opposed to the use of nuclear energy, but he is vetoing it due to separation of powers, because he believes that things like, you know, the appointment of the board is an executive function.
Yeah, another one of those bills. I mean, there's a lot of bills that kind of strip power away from the governor and give it to somebody else. And this one was kind of tough because I think this was a Danny Carroll bill.
It is.
Yeah, and I think that he... I mean, I think he worked pretty hard on this, but I mean, and I think he has good reason, and I think his district includes some nuclear power generation out there, and so I think it comes from like an actual concern. I think Governor Bashir vetoing it kind of indicates, you know, his issues with separation of powers, which are real, and the fact that the legislature keeps doing this to him. But it probably will get overridden, so, you know, Senator Carroll is going to get what he wants in the end of the day anyway, so...
Yeah, and the veto message, you know, cites sections of the state constitution and case law about like separation of powers when it comes to like the appointment and removal of board members. And so I don't know, we'll see if there is maybe some kind, I don't know if there might be some kind of lawsuit when it comes to something like this, but we'll see. House Bill 804 is a change of venue bill, and it would allow a change of venue in certain court cases. We've had different versions of this bill for several sessions now. And of course, this is also a separation of powers issue, but between the legislative and judicial branch. And Bashir said that, you know, this bill essentially decides where cases will be litigated without any kind of evaluation.
Yeah, we've had different kinds of bills like this actually pass in the past. Several of them have been, you know, found on, you know, been over.
We had one that passed that was found unconstitutional. Right. So they've changed this one, and I'm sure that there may be litigation over how this one works, and we'll see if this one passes constitutional muster.
Yep, we'll see, because it's going to get overridden. Yeah, but I think it's a good hint towards what the court case will look like, and the arguments that will be made against it when it gets to the courts.
Senate Bill 65 would nullify emergency regulations pertaining to Medicaid coverage for dental, hearing, and vision coverage. And Bashir called this stunt legislation and said that that those regulations have already been voided.
So. Yeah, it's like double voiding people's Medicaid benefits. Like, that's so cruel. Like, that's so ridiculous. But, you know, I guess it is. I guess it is what it is. So I don't know. I don't understand why this doesn't cause more of a backlash in like voters than it does. I guess just because stuff like this just doesn't really get around to voters that often. It doesn't make a lot of news. But I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah.
That's why we do this show, to try to make sure these things get around to voters.
Even when we're sick. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, our listeners are highly engaged people, but tell your casual voter friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
House Bill 581. This bill prevents local ordinances around electric vehicle charging stations versus gas stations. Like, it ensures that there can't be any local ordinances that would allow electric vehicle charging stations to be treated any differently than gas stations and vice versa. I think it's just trying to, you know, prevent electric vehicle charging stations from like popping up.
I think there are like potentially local rules that would say like if you're going to create a new gas station, it has to include at least one vehicle charger or something like that. That's what I think that this is trying to get away with. But you're right. I think the upshot is they're just trying to prevent there from being more electric vehicle charging stations. So,
yeah. And Bashir said that this bill imposes big government control over local government planning.
That it does. I don't know why these conservatives are so mad. They're helping Elon Musk, who's their favorite. So there
you go. And then here's a couple that were vetoed just today. I missed a few, but two bigger ones that I caught. House Bill 5. So this is the big omnibus crime bill. Bashir noted that House Bill 5 does do some good things, but the legislature decided to include those measures in an unwieldy bill that criminalizes homelessness and increases incarceration without any additional appropriation. So I was happy to see him veto that. You know, Bashir was the attorney general, and so like he has been, you know, tougher on crime than, you know, more progressive Democrats. He's had the support of, you know, some members of law enforcement, but to see him veto this was something I was glad to see, but it ultimately doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. I mean, HB5 is the worst bill that passed in the legislative session. I think that is how I feel. It's definitely the worst thing that the legislature did this year. It's horrendous. It's everything about it is bad. Like, even the stuff that some people are saying is okay. Like, I don't know. I just think it's awful. So I am really glad that the governor vetoed it. You know, like you said, it doesn't really matter in the end of the day, but you know, I mean, it's nice that there's somebody out there looking out for us. So there you go.
And then this last one that I was going to talk about today is Senate Bill 299, which is about the Horse Racing Commission. And I think you talked about this bill last week, but it separates the Horse Racing Commission and the Department of Charitable Gaming from the Public Protection Cabinet. And Bashir called it unnecessary and unworkable and suggested that this measure wasn't vetted. I think this was one that was like a shell bill.
Yeah, I think added something to it there at the very end.
Yeah. And Bashir's veto message for this bill was rather lengthy. And so he had a lot to say about this one. He didn't like it.
No, this is like the most egregious stripping of power away from the executive branch and giving it like doesn't even give it to the legislature, just gives it to this like unelected board,
right? It's like a private corporation or
that
private entity or
some regulation on top of it. And it is like it is quite literally like, I mean, and these the Horse Racing Commission and you know, now the Department of Charitable Gaming, which I think has the lottery in addition to now the sports betting, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of money that runs through the government, and a lot of space to do a lot of different kinds of things. And that is definitely like a big, big suck away from the power of the governorship in this bill, which passed at the very, very end of the session. The situation that they set up, like the private corporation, definitely also seems a little awkward. And, you know, I understand that the legislature wants to strip the power away and wants to do that, but like they're creating a situation in a scheme that may not be functional. And even though they like to play their games, it's probably good to have a functioning horse racing commission and a functioning lottery and, you know, sports betting world. So, you know, that is what that is. We got to the end of your list, Jasmine. I'm impressed.
Yeah, we made it.
Yeah. Should we talk for 1 second about HB 509 that the governor did sign? That is the open records bill.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, which you talked about this last week. You had said that, you know, the governor had expressed his support for the bill in the past, and so that he probably wouldn't veto it, and he did, in fact, sign it. I don't think that there is really much that can be said beyond what we said last week, which is to say, you know, it's definitely like a difference in opinion about, you know, what a private versus public communication is, but that it does certainly open up some significant loopholes. It also, you know, how many of people's private text messages and private emails were getting turned over to be searched if you work in a public sphere and they want to search your private emails? Like, that would make me feel weird, too. I do kind of feel both sides of this, but at the same time, I think it is a little I think that there's a lot of points that the opponents of the bill have. So anything you want to say about this besides the fact that it just got signed?
No, I agree with you. I think it just opens up for like a lot of communication to go through private channels to be shielded from open records. So like I do have transparency concerns about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that it would get signed.
Yeah. And it did. You were right. Look at you, Jasmine. All right. That's all. You did the open. I can't do the close. You do the close, too.
Well, I was going to add one.
Oh, add it.
One quick hit that I happened to see before we recorded today, that one of the Republican primary candidates for the Kentucky House in District 67, which is the seat that will be open after Rachel Roberts said that she will not run for re-election, was arrested for allegedly strangling a teenager. So he was charged with felony strangulation and then misdemeanor charges. So he's not the nominee. He has a primary in May. So it's Brian Orms.
He also is banned from Walmart.
And he was court ordered no contact with Walmart.
There you go. That's tough. Yeah, it's scary. That's bad. That's, you know, don't, if you're gonna run for office, like, don't strangle people. I mean, that should be like the first thing your campaign manager tells you, I guess. But the lesson just doesn't take with some people, I guess. So allegedly. We'll see what happens there. It is a contested primary, so I don't know what's going to happen with that, but yeah, that definitely was in the news today. Okay, Jasmine, how can people get a hold of us?
They can find us on Twitter and Instagram at @myoldkypod. They can like our Facebook page and listen to our podcast on the podcast app of their choice. We also have a newsletter sometimes you can subscribe to at tinyletter.com/myoldkentuckynewsletter. And we have a Patreon page where you can support what we're doing for as little as $1 a month. You can do that at patreon.com/myoldkentuckypodcast. And last but not least, we're part of the Dimcast Network and the Forward Kentucky Network.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.